All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, for the message this evening. I really appreciate the Carroll Christian Schools choir coming and singing for us. I'm going to brag on them a little bit. They did a wonderful job tonight. That was just tremendous. Thank you, young people. And I hope you'll do that again sometime. It was beautifully done. And I'm going to be singing hush, 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 hush all night long now. I appreciate that. Alan was singing tenor and I was singing bass. And I hadn't heard that song in a long, long time. Usually when I hear a song, I've got it. And it came back to me real quick, and I was up here singing bass, and Pastor Allen was singing tenor, and I thought, boy, I can't see Brian down here. I know he's directing, and I hope they didn't change the timing on it, because I'll be the only one singing if they change the timing. Man, it was good, and thank you so much, young people, for coming and singing tonight. It's a real blessing to us. All right, please keep your Bible open here to the 17th chapter, and I want to begin reading in verse 11. And I'm going to preach tonight and probably over the next several weeks run a little series of messages, and I'll tell you about it here in just a second. But look, please, at verse 11, and let's read this little event, this little story that happened in the life of our Lord. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were," what's the next word? Cleansed. All right, so as they went, they were cleansed. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed?" Were there not 10 cleansed? Now go back, please, and look, if you will, at verse 12. Were there not 10 cleansed? Yes, there were 10 lepers in verse 12. And he said to them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And so as they went, they were cleansed, verse 14. And so one of them turned around. Jesus then said to this one that came back and thanked him for cleansing him, verse 17, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee," what's the next word? Whole. I want to speak to you tonight and over the next couple of weeks on Sunday nights and answer from a biblical perspective, where's the other 9? Where's the other 9? Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you now for the service thus far. My, what a blessing it's been. Thank you, Lord, for our young people, and thank you for our school. And Lord, we thank you for using the young people tonight to be a blessing and to be an encouragement to us. And Lord, we're so thankful for that ministry, and just pray your richest blessings to be upon it. And Lord, we pray now that as we open the Scriptures, you will again be with us. Lord, we're so thankful for the things that you show us from the Word of God. We're thankful for the lessons. We're thankful, Lord, for the application. And I pray tonight that you will bless in a great way and just use this message to help each one of us to get a little better understanding of what is your plan and what is your will. And Lord, guide and direct, and we'll give you praise and glory for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, the Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And in order to get to Jerusalem from Galilee, You have to go through the central part of in the middle of Galilee, but you also have to go through the midst of Samaria. Samaria was an area that is just north of Jerusalem. And so as the Lord is coming through the northern parts of Samaria and the southern parts of Galilee, the Bible says that he came into a certain town. And while there, 10 men who were afflicted with the awful, horrible disease of leprosy approached him. Standing afar off, we're told in the Scripture, as was required of them by law, they cried out from a distance, and they asked the Lord Jesus to have mercy upon them. And the Lord Jesus told these men to go to the priest and to show themselves. Now, the purpose that they were to, for which they were to go to the priest was to prove that they had indeed been healed by the Lord. For only the priest could declare them clean. He was the only one that had the authority, and they would go to the priest and say, "I've been healed of the leprosy, look me over, check me out, and declare me clean." And the priest was the only one that could do this. This declaration would permit these men to have their lives back. As lepers, they were alienated, they were isolated from the public. They could not go down the street without having something cover their faces and without shouting, "Unclean, unclean," so that people could get out of their way. This declaration would permit them to be declared fit to resume society. They could then go back to their homes. They could be around people. They were free then to come and worship in the synagogue. And so the priest was the only one who had the authority to declare this or to make this decision. Now, with your Bible open, I want you to look, please, at verse 12 and just answer a few questions for me. They're simple questions, but I want to make sure that you understand what's going on here. Look, please, at verse 12. How many lepers were there? 10. There were 10. Look at verse 13. How many lepers cried out to the Lord Jesus and asked for mercy? All 10 of them. Exactly right. Okay, all 10 of them were lepers, and all 10 were crying out for the Lord to have mercy and to heal them. Next question, in verse 14. How many of them turned and started in the direction of the synagogue where the priest was? How many of them? All 10 of them. Okay? All 10 of them. And so we can assume that all 10 of them, in verse 14, last part of the verse, we can assume that all 10 of them, when they turned and headed for the priest, all 10 of them were indeed cleansed. So all of them were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, does everybody have that? Nod your heads like this if you do. You got that? Okay, good. Now, look at verse 15 and notice the contrast that is made here. One man, one out of the 10, saw that he was healed. And one man out of all the 10 noticed that he was healed of his leprosy, and he did something a little different. Now, folks, understand this. If in Bible times you contracted leprosy, you were nothing more than a dead man walking. It was only a matter of time before leprosy got you. That leprosy started out as a little blister. It then would begin to grow and eat at your flesh. And it would eat away at the flesh where it was located, and it would eat off the fingers. It would eat off your toes. It would eat off your hand. Then it would eventually eat off your foot. It would just keep eating away until it finally got into your body cavity, where it would then attack your major organs, and you would die a horrible, excruciating, painful death. Now, This disease was an awful thing to have, but it was also an awful thing to look at. It was constantly oozing from the disease itself. It would ooze with blood. It was easy to spot someone who had leprosy. But these men were, as they exercised faith, listen now, these men, as they exercised faith in the Word of God, turned to go to the priest to show themselves, and the Bible says that as they turned, they were healed. It was their faith to obey the Word of God and to turn and go to the priest to show themselves was when they were healed. And that means, dear friend, that when they were healed, the leprosy was gone. Their blackened skin, their ugly skin, their scab-filled skin was suddenly pure and clean and as white as the driven snow. So I want you to notice with me now that one of the ten, when he turned and started toward the priest, when he saw that he was cured of his leprosy, when he saw that he was healed of his leprosy, just became overwhelmed and he stopped. The others proceeded on to go to the priest to show the priest that they were healed so they could get their lives back. But the one fella stopped and he came back to where the Lord Jesus was. He threw himself on the ground and cried out, giving praise to God for what the Lord Jesus had just done for him. Now, when Jesus saw this, he asked the question, were there not 10 lepers cleansed? And they said, yes, there were 10. And Jesus then asked the question, well, then where are the other 9? Now watch this now. In verse 19, Jesus turned to this man that came back and thanked him and said to him, sir, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, remember what leprosy does to you. Leprosy eats off your fingers. Leprosy eats off the leg where it has attached itself. So picture this man in your mind, if you will. And let's say that he's had leprosy for a few years now, and let's say that he has no hand on his right arm. All he has on his arm is a nub, just a stub on the end. The leprosy has eaten off his hand. Let's say that the leprosy was on his right foot, and the leprosy has gotten to the place where it's completely eaten off his foot, and he walks with a crutch and holds his right leg up in the air so it doesn't have to touch the ground. Let's say that leprosy has done its job and his hand is gone and his foot is gone. But listen, this one man came back to Jesus and thanked him. And when he did that, not only was he healed, but the Lord Jesus said to him, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so there he now stands, not only healed of his leprosy, but just like that, he looks down and all of a sudden, he's got his hand back. He looks down at that nub that is on the end of his kneecap, and all of a sudden, his leg is back, his foot is back, and he is able to walk without his crutch. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now the other 9 were cleansed. But this one was not only cleansed, he was made whole. Do you see the difference? Now, look at the 17th verse. Jesus asked the question, where's the other 9? Where's the other 9? And I want to preach to you tonight and over the next few Sunday nights and show you from the Word of God where I think some of the other 9 can be found. Now again, how many lepers were there? How many lepers cried out for mercy? How many were given mercy? How many turned to go to the priest? How many were cleansed? But only one came back and thanked the Lord Jesus. All 10 got cleansed. only one came back. And when he did, the Lord Jesus made him whole. Where are the other nine? Now, folks, listen to me. We saw 250 people pray the sinner's prayer in this auditorium during the Living Cross. We saw yesterday well over 175, I would guess, people raise their hand after hearing the gospel and said, yes, I want to be saved. And I said, now, if you'd like to be saved and know that Jesus has redeemed you and that you have a home in heaven, I want you to pray this sinner's prayer with me. And I took them through the sinner's prayer and I said, now, if you prayed that, raise your hand. And at least 175 people raised their hand yesterday. Wouldn't it have been a nice thing if our church attendance the Sunday following Living Cross would have been up 250 from what it was the week before? Wouldn't it have been nice if we'd have been up 250 last week and then another 175 this week? Sure, it would have been nice. I mean, thank the Lord that all of you are here tonight. And I want you to understand that all of you that are here tonight who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that you are like this one man who came back and thanked the Lord Jesus for what Jesus has done for you. Thank God for a good crowd tonight. But listen, it's half what we had this morning. We had this many in the early service this morning. Where's the other nine? Are you understanding? You see where I'm going? Hey, folks, listen. Thank God for a good crowd. But where's the rest of our church tonight? I mean, another thing to think about. There are those that were with us a year ago tonight, and they're not with us tonight. Where are they? Where are they? I mean, what has happened to them? Where are they? And let's take a look over the next couple of weeks at some Bible passages, and let's see if we can find out just maybe where some of these other nine are. The first thing, the first subject that I want to tackle, I want you to take your Bible and go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let me read you a couple of verses, and then I'll give you one tonight. Where are the other nine? Well, let me give you just one little thought where some of them might be tonight. Look, please, if you will, at verse 9. Paul is writing, this is the last letter. He is about to be executed for preaching and his faith. In verse 9, he is writing to Timothy, and he says to him, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now, the reason he said that is because he knew he wasn't going to be here long. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Those are sad words, are they not? Where are the other nine? Well, listen very carefully, folks. Some, and I'm sure it's not all, but some of the other nine are out in the world. Some of the other nine are out in the world. You know, these are some of the saddest words that are found in the New Testament. Demas has gone down in the annals of history as the man who forsook the Apostle Paul during Paul's last days because he loved the world more than he loved the Lord. But the truth is, I dare say, many of the other nine are out in the world. They are more worldly minded than they are spiritually minded. And the world lures them away from God, away from the Bible, and away from church. That's what happened in Demas' situation. Hey, folks, you got to realize these 175 people that yesterday came to that funeral and heard the gospel, these 175 people, just about all of them were middle-aged or older adults, and just about all of them have lived a good, long life. And you got to realize that these people have spent a whole lot of time with their minds in the world. You've got to realize that. You've got to understand that. This world has got its grip around their throats. This world has a definite hold on them. And you know, I mean, ideally, what we would like to see is that every one of those people that prayed yesterday just say, well, praise the Lord, I'm saved now. I'm going to go join the Church of the Open Door and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And I'm never going to miss a service as long as I live. And I'm going to start praying and reading my Bible. And I'm going to quit watching junk on TV. And I'm going to throw away my worldly music. And I'm just going to live for Jesus for the rest of my life. That would be wonderful if that would happen. Of course, if that did happen, it'd be a whole lot better Christian than a lot of us. Yeah, then quit preaching and start meddling now, right? But that's, hey, listen, that would be great if they do that. I mean, thank God that when you got saved, let me ask you, I know some of you did. I know for a fact that some of you did. I know that you got saved and you instantly and immediately went to church and you followed the Lord in believer's baptism and you started going to church on a regular basis and you started reading your Bible. But you know, there are just as many of us that did that. There are just as many who we did not do that right away. And it took a little while for God to work in our hearts to get us to the place where we realize that we need to be in the house of God and we need to be reading the Bible and we need to follow the Lord and believer's baptism. It took a little while for that to happen. Now, you folks don't know this, but the simple truth of the matter is, I know it because I question and I ask, and there are people all the time who walk down these aisles and come down these aisles either to join the church or to follow the Lord and believer's baptism and come to find out they got saved 4 years ago at a Living Cross. Come to find out they got saved 5 years ago at the Summer Stomp. Come to find out they came as a teenager to Carroll Christian Schools and they got saved in a chapel service or in the classroom somewhere. But it took the Lord years to work in their lives and it took them years to listen to God working in their lives. And the end result was they had to go through some spankings in order to get where they ought to be, but they finally got there. And I tell you, it's just amazing. You know, we get this pharisaical attitude because we don't do anything for God. But we look down our noses at people that do and at churches that do and churches that try to get people saved. And we say, oh, that church, the Open Door, all they, oh, save, save, save. That's right. Amen. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's why we do that. We just happen to believe the Bible. Amen. Amen. Don't sit there and look at me like that. Well, I wonder how many of them are really saved. Well, you know, my Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder what whosoever means. I wonder what shall means. Why don't we just believe the Bible? Hey, folks, let me tell you, when Paul went down to the river, there was a gal standing down there, a seller of purple. Her name was Lydia. And Paul went down and gave that gal the gospel, and she believed it. Do you think just before he prayed with her, he said, now, wait a minute. Now, are you sure you believe this? Now, is there any way I can talk you out of this? Now, before I lead you to Christ, I want you to come to 4 Bible studies, and I want you to get so-and-so's book and read it, and then I want you to make sure that you've read 14 chapters of the Gospel of John before I actually pray with you. It may take a while, but we're going to make sure you really got it. Oh, no, my friend, he led her to Christ right there. Right there on the spot. Now, here were all these unsaved people during the Living Cross, and here's a presentation that was bathed in prayer, and the gospel was preached, and the gospel was given, and folks were told how Jesus died for them, and how if they'll just pray and receive Christ, they can be saved. They don't have to go to hell, and they have just witnessed a dramatization of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's fresh on their hearts, their tears in their eyes. Well, we've been fools to say, now, if you'd like to be saved, next week we're having a class. Now, if you really want to be saved and go to heaven, in 2 months from now, we're going to have a little meeting over in Baker, and we're going to sit down with everybody who's interested in spiritual things. Baloney on that, folks. Do you want to get saved? Then right now, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And I tell you, folks, where's the other 9? Well, some of them are out in the world. Some of them are out in the world. You say, well, I'm sure glad I didn't do that. I am too. I'm glad you didn't do it too. But the simple truth of the matter is, instead of sitting here being proud of yourself, what you ought to be doing is concerned about the other 9. It is, isn't it? Yeah, it got real quiet in here. Just what is this world that lured Demas away? What is it? Well, the world spoken of here is not this planet that we live on. That didn't lure him away. What lured Demas away is that organized system of rebellion authored and established by the devil that is in direct rebellion against God. It is that spirit that pulls at the flesh, causes a person to desire to feed it instead of the spiritual part. And it is the sin out there that appeals to the sinful nature of man. And I want you to know, dear friend, it's powerful. It's strong. It's alluring. It attacks with a vengeance. And I believe that there are multitudes of Christians. I'm talking about saved, born-again people who don't come to church, who aren't spiritually minded, who don't win souls, who don't care about tithing, who don't read their Bible and don't pray, because the simple truth of the matter is they love the world more than they love God. Now, they're thankful they're saved. If you stop them and say, are you saved? It's, oh, yeah, I got saved at the Living Cross. And you know, the tendency for me, and I know probably for some of you, is to grab a hold of them and just shake them real good and say, then why don't you come to church? But you see, they love the world. They've been in the world for all these years. And folks, a lot of them don't know. They just don't know. And that's where we come in. We got to tell them. We got to stay on them. And it's the world. They've been in the world all these years. That world's got a hold of them. Folks, one thing for sure, the world got a hold of Demas. And he forsook Paul. Listen, you've seen it, so have I. Someone comes to church and they're faithful and they're involved. They're in the choir. They're in the Soul Winners Club. I mean, they're here, and then all of a sudden they start missing on Wednesday nights, and then you notice them missing on Sunday nights, and then they're hitting and missing on Sunday mornings, and soon they don't show up except for here and there. Hey, listen, it can be a lot of things, I found out since being in the ministry. It can be a lot of things, but one major reason that people do this is the world. Where's the other 9? Sometimes it's a lure of the world that keeps them from coming back and falling at Jesus' feet and thanking Him for what He has done in saving their souls to begin with. You know, with young people, it's, you know, being cool and having cool friends and running with the cool crowd instead of coming to church. You know, what is that? That's the world. That's just the world. Where's the other nine? I've often asked that question. And I'm afraid many times the other nine are out here enjoying the world. And folks, we got to be careful now. Listen, Christian, you thank God. You thank God that you have a desire to go to church. Hey, you thank the Lord that you came back and fell at His feet. And by the way, this one that came back, look, he got healed. Okay? And by the way, I know what many of you were when you first came here. All right? I mean, I counseled with you. You know, I sat on the phone with you, and I know the mess that your life was in. But you came to church and you got saved, and through some preaching and through some growth in your part and through reading your Bible, now you sit here whole and in a right mind. You got made whole. Wasn't me that did it. Wasn't the church that did it. The Lord did it. So you better thank God that you came to church after you got saved. Because by coming to church, you've grown a little bit. You've learned something. And now your life is in pretty good shape. Oh, surely it's not perfect. Neither is mine. But you're not what you used to be. Huh? You're not what you used to be. You've been made whole. There's one more thing I want you to see. Folks, you need to understand that the world is only going to get more powerful as time goes on. You know, I can look back over the 31 years that I've been in the ministry, and I can see how much more powerful the world's pull is today. Man, the pull that it has on our young people is absolutely amazing. With 200 channels on your television set, constantly bombarding their hearts, preaching the message of the world, it's no wonder the world has captured so many hearts. And you know, John said in 1 John 2:15 through 17, he said that the world is passing away. He told Christians, don't love the world. And he said the reason is because the world is passing away. That means that with each and every passing day, the world just keeps getting farther and farther away from God. The world's passing away. It's going away from God. God never changes. God is always the same. He is immutable. He never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But John said the world is passing away. That's why, for those of us that have been around for a while, we can stand here today and we can say, "Ooh, boy, the world's a whole lot worse off today than it used to be." You see, we can remember back in the day, you know. Kids don't like to hear that. Well, I remember back when I was a kid. Oh. They don't want to hear that. But it's the truth. What's going on? The world's getting worse. And yet, here are Christians. Wait a minute. You were over here in the world for a long time. Man, you were over here in the world. You had let me go over on this side. You were over here in the world. I was over here with God in the world. That's not where we're supposed to be. You were in the world. And man, you lived, but your heart was there. The world was your life. But somebody died and you went to a funeral. At the church, the Open Door. I had a dozen people today tell me, "Well, I went to a funeral last week, and there was a whole big crowd there, and I never heard one fragment of the gospel." Well, you ought to come here and get buried. You'll hear the gospel here. Amen. Say amen, George. So you went to the church, the Open Door, or somebody invited you to Living Cross, and you came and you saw Living Cross, and the gospel was presented, and all of a sudden you were confronted with the fact that you're going to die one of these days. Where are you going to spend eternity? And man, you said, "Well, I want to go to heaven. And so I said, well, if you want to go to heaven, you pray this prayer with me. And you prayed that prayer with me. And I said, now, if you prayed that prayer, raise your hand. Bless your little heart, you raised your hand. Now, watch. Here's where I've been. But now I'm saved. And now I've got the Holy Spirit living within. And the Holy Spirit says, you got to read your Bible. So I say, okay, I'll read my Bible. So I start reading my Bible. Holy Spirit says, you ought to pray. You say, okay. So you pray. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to go to church. And so you say, well, okay. And so you go to church. Now you're over here hanging around with God. Then all of a sudden, you go back to work and your worldly friends, they start luring you away and they want you back over here in the world again. And then the spirit conviction, you want to go back over here to God again. And then your friends come along, whoop, going back. Now, wait a minute. What do we say about the world? It is constantly getting further and further away from God. So that means the distance between an immutable God and the world gets greater with each passing day. Nod your heads. And it's no wonder that God's people are just absolutely worn out. Running back and forth between God and the world, trying to hang on to the world with one hand and hang on to God with the other hand, and we just get all frustrated and aggravated, and I've seen a lot of them just throw their hands up and say, I quit.
That's good, preacher.
I quit. You're just a few books away from it. Go over to James chapter 1 real quick, and I'm done. I'm not finished, but I'm done. James chapter 1, verse 8. Notice here what James says. James chapter 1, verse 8 is New Testament Bible Christianity in 2008. A double-minded man. What's that mean? Watch. One mind here. One mind here. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Where's the other nine? Folks, I sat last night and I thought, you know, you all sit in the same seats, except for Gil. Gil messed me up tonight because the kids were in his seat over here, I presume. You're not going to get mad and leave the church, are you? Okay. Because that's happened. That's happened. Why? Because a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. That's why it's happened. Amen. You with me?
Amen.
Hey, folks. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want that to happen to me. Then get in the book. I mean, feed your spiritual man. Just get in the Word of God. Get in the Bible and grow and learn. And you be like that one man who, when he realized that he had been healed. I mean, listen, your sins have been forgiven. You've been spiritually healed of your spiritual leprosy. And boy, it behooves you just keep coming back and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where's the other nine? Well, some of them are still out in the world. I'll show you where some more are next week. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, what a blessing to know the Savior. And Father, we're thankful for the fact that you spoke to our heart when we cried out in mercy, for mercy. You extended mercy. And Lord, you saved us. We didn't deserve it, but you did. You said, for whosoever will may come. And so we came. And when we came, you saved our souls. Lord, we thank you for that. And now I pray that you will help us to be thankful for what you did for us. And Lord, I just pray that we'll not allow the world to occupy the center part of our person. But Lord, we'll let the Spirit run the show, not the world. That Lord, our behavior will be spiritual, godly behavior instead of worldly behavior. That Lord, our attitude will be a godly attitude instead of a worldly attitude. That Lord, we'll let the Word of God shape and mold and fashion us into the image of your dear Son. Oh Lord, help us tonight. And I pray that you will undergird what's been said and strengthen by bringing conviction to our hearts and helping us to apply the message personally. Lord, do your work now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.